Welcome to Burnside at Home, and today we continue our journey through the wilderness. And we come to a difficult aspect of the wilderness journey. We're coming to a sorrowful journey with Jesus through the wilderness today. And we're going to consider the sorrow that's involved in mourning and in loss. Not just in death, but there are other aspects of life as well where we mourn and we lose. So today, as we continue in the wilderness, we're going to look into these deep things. Now, that should sound as though it's going to be a very downcast service, but I want us to find hope today that as we worship, our eyes are lifted from the loss and the mourning towards our Savior, towards the one who brings us life, towards the one who gives us the water of life that leads to eternal life. And so that is our hope as we worship today. We're going to remember that we never weep in vain. And as Jesus declared to Martha, just after Lazarus, her brother, had died and he had come to the house to meet with them, so he reminds us today from John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So today we come to worship the resurrection and the life. Today we come to glorify our Savior and our Redeemer. We come to experience his eternal life that he offers us. And we ask him to lift us from the darkness and the gloom of mourning and loss and fill our hearts with his joy. Today, obviously, we're meeting online once again, and with the restrictions that have been brought in, the lockdown continues until at least the 1st of April, which may mean that we're able to meet together on Easter Sunday, although that has not been confirmed yet. The executive are meeting again on the 18th of March to decide whether the advice is that churches can open or not for Easter. Obviously, if Easter Sunday, we are allowed to open on that Sunday. That's normally a very busy Sunday for us, and we're going to have to look at how we restrict numbers on that particular Sunday. But we will tell you more about that once we have firm details in place. So in the meantime today, we're going to worship online and also with those who are listening on the telephone line, and we're going to glorify God together. So let's bow together in prayer. Let us pray. God, you rejoice with those who rejoice. You mourn with those who mourn. And you call us today to do the same. Help us to come to you today. Help us to come with honesty and with openness, sharing our sorrows, but also knowing your comfort. Fill us full of hope today, Lord, that we might glorify your name and that we might trust in you. For, Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening item of praise is taken from the Psalms, from Psalm 46. It's a well-known hymn based upon that psalm. God is our strength and refuge, reminding us that in the most difficult times of weakness, God is the one who is strong. In the most difficult, fearful times, God is the refuge that we can trust in. In the first verse, we sing, God is our strength and refuge, our present help in trouble, and we therefore will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake and tremble, though swirling floods are raging. God, the Lord of hosts, is with us evermore. We're going to continue in God's Word now, and this time we're turning to John chapter 11. This is the occasion where Lazarus has died, and Jesus goes to the family home, to Mary and Martha, and speaks to them about their loss and brings comfort to them. And it's going to be read today by Jewel Carson. So let's turn to God's Word together. John chapter 11, verses 20 to 29, and then verses 32 to 36.
John chapter 11, verses 20 to 29, and 32 to 36. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him."
This week is perhaps one of the most difficult on our journey through the wilderness. Most weeks I struggle with this whole experience of our online services. I'm standing in the church. The church is empty. I know that you're listening at home, but I can't gauge your reaction to what I'm saying. And it's very hard to preach under those circumstances, because although the message is normally prepared beforehand, there is a certain amount that the Holy Spirit leads depending on the reaction of the congregation. And I can't see the congregation today, and I don't know how you're reacting to the message. So I don't know the areas where perhaps I just need to explain a little bit more, or the times that I need to repeat something again. And so it's a little bit difficult normally to gauge what's happening. But this week, I think it perhaps might make this a little bit easier, the fact that I can't see into your faces, that I'm not sitting in your living room beside you as we're listening to this today. Because today we're talking about a sorrowful journey with Jesus through the wilderness. And many of us over the years have been through these sorrowful journeys together and continue to go through these sorrowful journeys together. Many of us have been through difficult times together. We've spoken about them. We've sat together. We've cried together. We've mourned together. Not always at a time of death, although death perhaps is what we think of first today when we think of a sorrowful journey and we think of mourning. But there are other times whenever we're sorrowful. And today, as we think about this sorrowful journey, we're planning to encapsulate all of those times together and to think about those sad times in the wilderness when we seek God and whenever we walk with Jesus. And maybe it's better today that you're able to sit at home rather than have to sit with others around you. Maybe it's better that you're able to take this time alone. I know at the same time we would love to have the help of others beside us. We'd love to have the fellowship of others beside us. But let's pray and realize that the Holy Spirit is with us and that He will comfort us today and help us make sense of this today. So I don't want to say anything that I'm going to say in our service today lightly. It's with a heavy heart that I approach these subjects, but they still need to be approached and they need to be dealt with. So I come today praying that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. On this journey in the wilderness, we began by talking about how the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us into the wilderness. God led the children of Israel into the wilderness out of Egypt. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days after He was baptized, before He was tempted by Satan. And God calls us to the desert, that we might worship Him, that we might be transformed by Him. And we've thought about how wilderness worship looks very different from the mountaintop experiences. It often involves simplicity, as we were thinking about last week, things like solitude and silence and fasting. But this week we come to the stark truth that wilderness worship might also involve times of sorrow. When sorrow and grief are our companions, we often feel like we've been abandoned in the desert. We often feel as though we are on our own. But today I want us to realize that we are not alone, that God is with us, that it's the Holy Spirit who has led us to this point, and He doesn't wander off and leave us. He stays with us throughout it all. So let's see what we can find out about this sorrowful journey today with Jesus. Many of us have never experienced what a true physical desert is like. We've perhaps seen photographs, we've watched it on television, we've seen it in the movies. And because of that, we may romanticize a little bit what living out in the wilderness may truly be like and what it might just involve. But in biblical times, there was no such misapprehension about what the wilderness was like. Not only were deserts places lacking in food and in water, but they were also dangerous places. They were places where there were wild animals, where there were thieves. Tom Wright explains it like this. He says, "The wilderness became a haunt of wild animals. The desert offered criminals a place to hide and plot, and open spaces between towns and cities were lawless, dangerous places from which travelers would be eager to escape by scurrying into the next built-up area." We've only got to think of the parable that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, and how the traveler was attacked and left for dead out in the wilderness between the two cities. And therefore, for all these reasons, the wilderness was to be feared. It wasn't somewhere that you rushed to willingly. You had to be led there. There had to be a reason to go there. And you often wanted to get out of it again as quickly as possible. And even if it is God that's leading you into the wilderness, even if it's the Holy Spirit who has brought you here, you don't want to have to stay any longer than you really have to. For people in Bible times, it represented the unknown, it represented danger and failure and mortality. Today, we're not good at talking about or reflecting on these kind of difficult issues. We'd rather keep them hidden. And yet we are encouraged more and more to talk about them. And especially over this past year of lockdown, where we haven't had the same social interactions that we would normally have, and we haven't had the same fellowship that we would normally have in church, lots of these things are not getting spoken about, are not getting prayed about. The highlight every week for me at the moment is on a Wednesday at 12 o'clock when we have our prayer meeting. And you are welcome to join us for that time of prayer. If you're not doing anything on a Wednesday at 12 o'clock, get on your computer and join us for a time of prayer. The fellowship that exists in that short time of prayer where we just simply chat to one another and encourage one another and then pray for each other and pray for our church and pray for our world. It is vital that we do those things. We all experience struggles. We all experience fears and doubts and disappointments and anger and hurt. All of us will at some point be faced with the mortality of ourselves and indeed our loved ones. And yet we so often want to brush those thoughts under the carpet. We don't want to air them. We don't want to admit that there's a problem. How many times have you seen it when somebody is seriously ill and nobody wants to talk about the fact that they are dying? Nobody wants to face the reality that this is the end. And there's always this thought, oh, they're going to get better. And we don't want to talk about the harsh realities. We want to keep the stiff upper lip. We want to keep calm and carry on. Even with God, we can come to church or we can go to times of prayer and try to pretend that everything is okay. But God wants to hear about our struggles. And He listens to us when we cry out to Him. He hears us when we call to Him. And whenever He hears us, He doesn't ignore us, but He does something about it. So we need to be honest with Him. I want to think back to something that we thought about at the beginning of the year, learning to lament. You can go back and you can listen to those services at the beginning of January if you want to and remind yourself about lament and what's involved in it. Wilderness experiences in the Bible teach us that God does hear us. He does care. In Exodus chapter 3 that we read together earlier, Moses is hiding in the desert when he hears God say to him, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Is that not a verse that we need to underline in our Bibles? Is that not a verse that we need to write out and pen up somewhere? Because in the most difficult of times, God is saying to us, just as He said to Moses, I have seen the misery of my people. I've heard them crying out, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Is God saying that to you today, that He's heard you cry, that He's concerned about you, that He is listening? God's not blind to our struggles or deaf to our cries. He doesn't consider it a lack of faith or an insult towards Him or a sin if we choose to be honest with Him. We can tell Him our doubts, how we feel about the state of the world, or even share with Him whenever we feel disappointed with what's going on. Even if we feel disappointed with God, we can come to Him and we can tell Him that, and He hears us. He doesn't banish us and say, don't say such things. How dare you even think that? He listens and He comforts and He hears us. In fact, if we read through the Psalms, One of the things about lament that surprised me the most was that a third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. He actively encourages us to cry out to him. And on the blog this week, we're going to think about lament on several days, and we're going to remind ourselves what's involved in lament. So do watch those little bits each day. He wants his people to cry out to him in honesty and in desperation. And at the beginning of the year, we obviously were learning about lament, and the Psalms are full of honest, raw complaint, sorrow, and protest. Bible characters from Hagar to David, from Jesus to Paul, they pray heartfelt prayers of distress. They cry out to God in lament whenever there is nowhere else to go. Last week, we listened to the Michael Card song, In the Wilderness, that deceptively beautiful song reminding us that in the wilderness, there's a purpose and there is a promise. And Michael describes the importance of the wilderness in teaching us how to lament. And in one of his books, he writes the following. You and I were created to wake up in a garden. Instead, we open our eyes each morning to a fallen wilderness, a world where our omnipresent God seems disturbingly absent. God transforms us and leads us by his grace into a pathway back to his presence. We were created, like Adam and Eve, to be in the Garden of Eden, a beautiful place, abundant with plants, everything growing, not needing any tending or help. Everything was just there. But the reality is that because of sin, we've been banished from that garden, and we now find ourselves in a wilderness. So God transforms us and leads us by his grace into a pathway back to his presence. This path is found in the language of lament. When we lack the language to articulate this forsaken, fallen struggle, when we long for the words to cry out our confusion and bewilderment, the Bible provides such a language for us. Lament is learned only in the wilderness. So in this wilderness experience, we learn to lament, and lament is a pathway back to the garden again. And then finally today, I want us to see that Jesus meets us and sends us. Lament is going to look different for each one of us. This journey, this sorrowful journey with Jesus will be different for each one of us. Maybe at this particular moment, it's not sorrowful in your life. Maybe you are rejoicing, and praise the Lord if that is the case. Or perhaps you're maybe still struggling with a sorrowful part of the journey in the past. You've moved on, but that sorrow is still there, and you still go back to it from time to time. Jesus meets us and sends us. It's different for each one of us. Some people will come and whisper a prayer. Others will come and they will shout at God. Some of us might sing a sad song. Others might turn to art and paint or write something to help them through. Some of us will shake our fists. And others will ask questions to try to understand. We can see these different kinds of responses in our passages today. Whenever Martha's brother dies, she goes to Jesus with a theological question. And Jesus meets her at that point. He listens to her and he responds with a deep truth that she can place her hope in. However, Mary is completely different. She has a question, but she mostly just cries and weeps. And so Jesus is moved deeply in the spirit, and he weeps with her. Even though Jesus must know what he's about to do, he's about to go and raise Lazarus from the dead, he comforts Mary and weeps with her. He is profoundly sorrowful for the loss of Lazarus, and he's not afraid to show it. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. The story of Moses demonstrates another of God's reactions to our sorrowful circumstances. Moses isn't mourning a death. His issue is the mistreatment of his people under the Egyptians. But he is also consumed with self-doubt at the mistake that he's already made in trying to sort the situation out. And God comes to Moses to tell him that he cares. He heals. And that he is calling Moses to do something about it. In each one of these circumstances, there's a different reaction to the sorrowful journey, but in each one, God listens and hears and comes alongside and helps. So if you're like Martha, wilderness worship is a place for you to be honest with God and ask deep questions, to tell him how you feel, to ask him questions, to call out, "How long, O Lord?" All of these things are okay with him, and he will meet you in your honesty. Wilderness worship is also a place to weep, to just let it all out like Mary did. That's okay with God as well. Jesus stands and weeps with us today. He is with us in this sorrowful journey. And thirdly, wilderness worship might be a place where God shows you his heart for a situation as he did with Moses. God may move you for an injustice or a need for a person, that you would care and show compassion for that person. It may be that he impresses his sorrow for something on your heart today and causes you to care in a way that you've never cared before. And then he sends you to go and do something about it. Jesus meets us and then sends us. This sorrowful journey with Jesus in the wilderness gives us an opportunity to confront things that otherwise we might shy away from. So I've got two things to leave you with today. Two things that are vitally important. And I pray that you think hard about them today. Firstly, I want to ask you today to prepare for your funeral. Prepare for your funeral. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid. It's just simply the fact that there is one certainty in life. We will all die unless the Lord returns first. And in which case, we need to be prepared for that as well. We don't like to imagine that we will die, but we will die one day. So be ready. It is going to happen. So be prepared. Jesus Christ is the only person who can deal with death. Jesus died to offer us life. Jesus died to bring eternal life to us. So that's the positive aspect of this journey of sorrow today, that if we only remain in the sorrow with Jesus, then we fall into this spiral of self-pity. But Jesus is there beside us in the sorrowful times to offer us eternal life. He offers us an alternative to the death that has led us here. Death doesn't have to be the terrible end that the world would have us believe. If this past year of COVID has taught us anything, it is that death is very real. And sometimes there is nothing that we can do to avoid death. Up until a year ago, we thought that modern medicine and science had a pretty good grip on things. And then a virus appears that nobody knows what to do with at the start. A vaccine may help us to avoid death from COVID, but we will still die of something else. There isn't a vaccine for death. So the only thing that can help us with death is eternal life from Jesus Christ. So be ready for your funeral. Listen to the call of Jesus Christ today. If you haven't already trusted in him, fall down before him now and beg for forgiveness. Tell him, "Lord, I am so much in need of you today. I am a sinful creature who is going to die, and I need you. I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. I need your eternal life." Trust in him today. And if you have already done that, then pause for a moment today to thank him and praise him for what he has done. Remember what he has done, and then tell someone what he has done and share that good news with someone who needs to hear it. So prepare for your funeral. And then can I say one other thing today? I want to suggest that not only you prepare for your funeral, but can I just say on a practical note, prepare your funeral. Have a chat about your funeral. What you would like to happen at your funeral. Write it down. Pick the hymns. Pick the readings. Give it to your minister, give it to me, give it to an undertaker, give it to somebody who will keep it safe and will know that it's there. I'm saying that because that is probably one of the kindest things that you can do for your family at a time of death. And yet it's the sort of thing that we don't want to admit, that we don't want to look into, because it's admitting that we're going to die and it's admitting that there will be a problem one day. But if I don't say it to you today, then I'm probably never going to say it to you. And it's maybe easier for me to say it today because I can't see your faces. Nowadays, sadly, many families haven't made a commitment of faith, and therefore they find the arrangements for a funeral difficult. Much better if you have left instructions for what you want rather than relying on someone who doesn't understand your faith or someone who doesn't share your faith trying to make those arrangements. Maybe pick a favorite Bible passage to be read at your funeral service. And I don't say this glibly today, But if you've left a Bible passage to be left to be read at your funeral service, that might just have an impact on your family. I know that if I am able to stand up at a service and read a passage and then say at the end of that passage or before it, this was so-and-so's favorite passage, and I think they liked it because, or this shows their faith because, that has an incredible impact on people's lives. And who knows, maybe just a family member will be impacted by that. So I know it's not the most pleasant thing to do, but think about it. Prepare your funeral service. Just have a little think about those things and the impact that those words might have on somebody. It makes such a difference. Makes such a difference when the wilderness can be a sorrowful journey. But it is also a comforting place. Because it's only in the sorrow that we truly experience the comfort of our Savior. It's only in the times of deep mourning that we know that the Savior is with us. And that we realize what is truly important in life. We realize that Jesus is with us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we read these words, and take a moment to realize the full impact of them. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Death, sorrow, mourning, these things cause us to think about what is truly important in life. So the sorrowful journey today with Jesus is not to leave us depressed today and to leave us hopeless today. The journey is to remind us that Jesus is with us through the wilderness. He is right by your side, and he will not abandon you. No matter how sorrowful you are today, reach out because he is there beside you. And he will not leave us. And he is the only one who can do anything about death. Our Bible reading today is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And as we're thinking about this sorrowful journey with Jesus through the wilderness, we realize that whenever we cry out to God, God hears us. And whenever he hears us cry, he comes to meet with us and he comes to help with us. In Exodus 3, Moses is at the burning bush. God has heard the cry of his people. They're in slavery in Egypt and they're crying out to him. And as he listens to their cries, he comes to Moses and he tells Moses the plan that he has to set them free and to save them, a plan that will lead them out of slavery into the wilderness so that they can worship him there. And therefore, again, we find this idea that the wilderness is not necessarily somewhere to be avoided, but at times, it's a necessary place to go so that we can worship God. So let's hear God's word together. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why this bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. Now we come to God in prayer, and we're going to bring our prayers for others today, and I'm going to base them on a psalm of lament, Psalm 13, that we've looked at before together. And I'm going to read a verse or a couple of verses of the psalm, and then pray, and then read some more verses of the psalm. And the words of the psalm are on screen as we pray. So whenever I mention the verse that I'm reading, you might want to open your eyes and read the verse with me before we then pray together again. So let us pray together. Verse 1. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" We pray today for those who feel forgotten and unseen. May they know that they are remembered and seen by you, O God. Help us to partner with you, Lord, to remember the forgotten. Search our hearts to reveal those we hide our faces from, the outcast, the stranger, or the homeless. Change our hearts that we may turn our faces towards these people and see them as your beloved children. Verse 2. "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" We pray for those we know who struggle with mental illnesses, anxiety, and depression. We pray that there will be resources released to help, enough staff employed and finances given towards mental health services nationally. Help us to be a friend and a listening ear to those who suffer. Fill us with compassion and wisdom. Ultimately, we pray for those who wrestle with sorrow, that they may know your victory over those dark thoughts which currently seem to triumph. Verse 3, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall." We pray today for those who might be considered fallen by those around them. May they know your restoration and grace. Help us to not judge or exclude your beloved children, but instead lift them up in prayer and embrace them with the grace we know in Christ. Thank you, loving Father God, for hearing our prayer. And therefore, we exclaim today from verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen. Today, I'm delighted to be able to share with you a message from Andrew Neil. Many of you will know Andrew as the Scripture Union E3 North Coast worker, and he is involved in liaising between churches and schools in the North Coast area and supporting Scripture Unions. It's obviously been a difficult time over this past year with many schools being disrupted and not being able to welcome people into the buildings, and yet Andrew has still been ministering in this way, and so he provides us with this update today. So thank you very much, Andrew.
Hi everyone, thank you for downloading my prayer points for this month. I'd love it if you could join me in praying for schools. And we first of all give thanks for answered prayer that schools are opening again for some face-to-face learning. At this stage, it's for just a few pupils. We don't know how that will change, but we'd love it if you could pray for our teaching staff, our support staff, and leaders of our schools as they begin to make this transition back to in-person learning. With talk as well that after school clubs may be a thing again, we want to pray for our SU coordinators. We want to give thanks to them for their willingness to be a light in the darkness, a shining presence for Christian pupils. And as they begin to think about what SU might look like in the final term or even going into next year, we want to pray for wisdom for them. Before half term, I promised you that I would introduce you to a new face. And I'm delighted to say that Hannah Wilson will be joining Team North Coast as intern for the remainder of her year with Scripture Union. I could tell you all about Hannah, but I think it's better that she does it herself.
Hello everyone, I'm Hannah, I'm from Belfast, and I'm going to be serving as the intern for the North Coast. I was previously the intern for Antrim and Lisburn, where I had lots of experience writing resources, recording assemblies, and RE lessons for schools. But I'm really looking forward to being part of Skills Ministry at the North Coast. I really appreciate your prayer as I make this transition, and I'd love you to pray that I'd be able to build intentional relationships with the people that I meet throughout the rest of my internship year. Thank you so much.
We're so excited to have Hannah in the North Coast, and we look forward to going into schools to share God's good news. But while that's not possible at the minute, we are so thrilled to be able to release two new resources into our schools. Firstly, we have a series of Easter lessons. These are designed for Foundation, Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2, Key Stage 3, and SEN level. And we've been so pleased to pull these together in a short time frame, and we're really pleased with how they've turned out. So if you would like these lessons, these are video-based resources with activity sheets that accompany them. If you would like these resources, please get in touch with me. Similarly, our second resource is something a wee bit different. It is about the life of St. Columbkills, a series of RE lessons called The Way of the Peacemaker. And what these lessons are video-based resources for Key Stage 2 pupils. They are exciting, interactive, and they share the biblical principles of peace. They look at the life of Columbkill, and they look at some of the prayers that he wrote as well. These are a really interesting and different set of lessons to celebrate the 1500th anniversary of Columbkill's birth. Again, if you would like them, please do get in touch, and I'd love to share them with you. Thank you so much for watching this video, for your continued prayers, and I'd like to thank you particularly for all your prayers during our daily Pray for School focus throughout the month of February and into the end of January as well. As we've been praying for our schools, and now as we see schools beginning to reopen, I would love us to continue to pray for our schools daily, to ask for God's blessing on those kids returning to full-time education, for protection of staff and of pupils, and just a sense of community to be built again after so long apart. Thank you for your prayers, and I'll see you next month. Bye.
Let us pray. Thank you, gracious Father, for the space to be honest with you today. To you, all hearts are open, and from you, no secrets are hidden. So may we continue to talk openly with you as we leave this time of worship. Make us people who listen to others, who share their sorrows, who spread your comfort. For we ask all of this in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.